Girlfriends, episode number 363, five things to do when you feel helpless. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, we are talking about things you can do when you feel helpless. We're all there sometimes. Let's get going. Hey, girlfriend, welcome to this newest episode of the Girlfriends Podcast. So glad you are joining me here today. I know you're busy, and so I am so grateful that you make some time for the Girlfriends Podcast. Thanks so much for showing up. So how's your week going? How's your Lent going? Are you maintaining your commitments? Are you falling short of your commitments? Are you being given a Lent that you never imagined and struggling to keep up with that? It's good to kind of pause every once in a while throughout the season of Lent and see where we're at. So I would just encourage you right now at this stage in Lent, like we're kind of nearing the end here and we can see the end, that it's a good time to consider, you know, kind of reassessing where you are. But I was talking with a friend this week about this idea of just doing well with what's given to you. So what's given to you this Lent might be that you made all of these great plans and commitments and you're following through with many of them and doing great. And that's great. So keep on doing that, doing well with what is given to you. But maybe what's been given to you this Lent was you're in a bad place for whatever reason, and you maybe never even made a real plan for Lent, and you kind of find yourself shuffling through, maybe feeling kind of guilty about the fact that you don't have a real plan for your Lent, and maybe seeing other people that seem to be doing so much better than you. And you know what? What is the thing that's, you know, holding you back? What is getting in the way? Or if you're falling short of the commitments that you made and kind of feeling tempted to be discouraged or despair over that, like, what is the thing that's been given to you? Like, look at what's given to you. And maybe it's very difficult life circumstances right now. Maybe you're dealing with health issues or relationship issues or parenting stuff or work issues or financial struggles or, you know, I don't know your details, but God does. And what he's asking you to do is do well with what is given to you. So I just want to encourage you, you know, before we get started in this week's topic, to consider that. Where are you right now? And where is God calling you to be? And how can you do well with what is given to you right now? I think that's just the Lenten challenge for every one of us. If you're having a fantastic Lent, if you're having your best Lent ever, shout out to Matthew Kelly, your best Lent ever. Or if you're just really struggling, if you're really struggling in some way right now, God sees you in that and he loves you in that. And he's still calling you to grow closer to him during this liturgical season of Lent. It's not necessarily something you're going to do or accomplish on your own, but seek to do well with what is given to you. All right, that was just my little Lenten reminder at the start here. But this week's topic, actually, you know, sometimes at the end of the show, I'll share like a listener question, but this question was big enough that I thought I can do a whole show on this. And it's, you know, it's a general enough topic that I think it many of us can relate to it. And this question came to me from a new listener, Bernadette, who lives down under. She lives in Australia. And I love that Girlfriends has this international community. I think it is so fantastic. You know, even in our online community over at girlfriendscommunity.com, which if you haven't checked out, get on over there. We miss you. We want you to be a part of what we're doing over there. You know, we've got people that are in Europe and in the Philippines and, you know, all different places. And I love that we can connect in this way. So we connect through the podcast, but we connect through the community, and we're all connected in the community of saints. So I think this is just like a little tiny shadow of that, a little mirror of that in some way. I love what we're able to do through Girlfriends here. So Bernadette, she wrote me a great big long email. I won't read the entire thing. I kind of compressed it a little bit to get to the heart of what her question is. Bernadette wrote, "Dear Danielle, my name is Bernadette. I'm a mother of four. I turned 50 last year in August, and my husband and I live on an 80-acre property in Pemberton, Western Australia, in which we grow an orchard with avocado, macadamia nut, and persimmon trees." Okay. Pause. I love this. I mean, I want to go visit you, Bernadette, and I want to visit your farm and have some of your avocados and macadamia nuts. And I don't even know what a persimmon is. So shame on me, but I want to find out. Anyway, I love this. Anyway, she goes on and shares what she likes about the podcast. She even shared that she listens while she's on the tractor. So I love that the girlfriends community is out there like this. You know, we're in fields on tractors. You take me on your runs. You take me on your walks. You take me along when you're running errands and driving in the car and when you're folding laundry. Thank you for that. All right. So Bernadette goes on. She says, we are in a transition period with all of our children living away from home and in different stages of work and personal relationships. I miss the closeness with my children not being around every day, but believe they are all on their own journey, and I'm proud of what they continue to achieve. The main reason that I'm feeling the blahs coming out of summer, because of course it's opposite land there. So we're coming out of winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, and they're coming out of a summer. But she says, the main reason I'm feeling the blahs coming out of summer is the examination of my conscience with regard to our parish council. I'm treasurer and was vice chairman of our parish pastoral council. We are having one of those moments of good versus good, and I keep thinking of Jesus and how he scolds Peter and the disciples for their lack of faith and their human thought process. I feel that. But I'm also feeling him leading me to question the changes in our mass and the surrounding environment which others on our council are pursuing. So hence, I thought it was very thought-provoking for me in a recent episode, not in terms of motherhood, but in terms of people's ego and how some people want to appear to do the right thing or travel a road that seems more holy. We have many things going on in our parish already, not the least of which our priest is contending with leukemia right now. And I find it hard to accept that some people won't just have faith in Jesus's mercy or grace. They have to bring in extra prayers, incense, Latin masses. I get they feel like we're under attack and want to do something to counter that, but I think it puts added pressure on our already struggling priest and doesn't put the focus on where it should be, Jesus. Jesus is peaceful, kind, and lets us come to him. He guides us ever so gently, but with purpose. I'm sorry for the long email and offloading my torment onto you. I'm thinking maybe an outsider's perspective will help, as I live in a very small country town. You have helped me already by your Uplifting Girlfriends podcast, and I thank you very much. Maybe you could do a podcast, if you haven't already, on the good versus good scenario, or offer some helpful advice to alleviate feelings of worry and helplessness that people feel when they feel like what they are doing isn't enough. Thank you, Bernadette. Also, Bernadette shared with me a song from Australia that is going to be our song of the week. So if you subscribe to the show notes, you're going to get that song of the week. And the way to subscribe to the show notes is to text the word girlfriends to 33777. You get that song of the week every week. Okay, so first of all, I really want to thank you, Bernadette, for this very thoughtful email and for kind of pouring out your heart to me. And I think, you know, you don't share all of the details, and I won't even begin to try to address the details of what's going on in your parish, except know that I understand it sounds like a tricky situation with a lot of feelings on all sides and your pastor who needs your prayers and needs your support. So I love that you have this heart for what is going on there. And the fact that it's, you know, what's going on is a source of conflict or is upsetting to you, I think it's important to address that. So I thought, let's just talk about it in a general sense, because I think this is a situation, whether it's, you know, situation at your parish or things going on in your family or things going on with your work or in your marriage. We all feel helpless sometimes, and we can all see that kind of there's good things on all sides, and we're not sure what to make of it and how to balance it and what the best solution is. And I love, Bernadette, that you mentioned, you know, our Lord scolding Peter for his very human thought process. And I feel that too. So often I'm like, well, I am human, Lord. You made me human. That's why I see things in this very limited way. So help me out here. So I'm just going to in a very general way, share with you five ideas for times when you are feeling helpless, whatever it is, whatever's going on. When you are feeling helpless, these are some things that can kind of help you out there. So the first I'm going to recommend to you is to read scripture. When you're feeling all tangled up and you don't know what God's will is, you know, go read God's word. You're going to find peace there. You're going to find maybe a reminder there. You know, this is the beautiful thing about reading scripture is we can read it and read it and read it and have it read to us like throughout our entire lifetime. And still, I'm amazed at the ways in which I can open up and read a very familiar scripture passage, even one of my favorites. And all of a sudden, I see or I hear something new in it. That's because God's word is living. And so scripture is God's living word, and it's speaking to you in your life right now. So if you want to know what God is speaking to you, read his word. You know, and over again in scripture, we read, you know, Jesus telling us, don't be afraid, be not afraid, don't be anxious. Why are you anxious? You know, he's always chiding us in that way. Don't worry. And it's sometimes, you know, when I'm going through something difficult or if I'm really tempted to worry about something, it can feel like, okay, yeah, easy for you to say, like, don't worry. Well, here I am in this mess, right? But the more we read our Lord's words, the more we can understand the way that he's speaking to us very personally in our hearts about the very real struggles that we are facing in our lives right now. You know, one scripture passage that came to mind when I was reading your email, Bernadette, was in Luke chapter 12, when Jesus tells us, like, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, don't worry about anything. It's a long passage where he's just describing all these beautiful ways that our Lord can provide for us. And one of my favorite little nuggets from it is from Luke chapter 12, this is verses 27, 28. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And then just a few lines later, there's this continuation of the passage that I actually, this is one of those things where I've read this so many times. It's one of my favorite scripture passages, like I've told you, that it just stood out to me in a new way. Like I felt like I was reading it for the first time, like I hadn't noticed it before, where Jesus goes on and says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. Like, when you are struggling, if you're struggling in your parish like Bernadette is, or if you're struggling in your family or among friendships, how much consolation is there in just that one little line of Jesus speaking to you personally, speaking to you, to your heart, saying, fear not, little flock. I mean, think of the tenderness and the love and the compassion that you can hear in those words, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. That's what God wants for you. He wants to give you every good things. I've read those lines so many times through the years, and yet only very recently was I reading it, and those lines in particular stood out to me as just so loving and so compassionate, where you might be tempted to push away, you know, Jesus in the lines before where he's saying, don't be anxious. Can you add a minute to your life by worrying? Then why are you worrying? Look at the birds, look at the flowers, you know? And yet it's so true, everything he's saying. But then he wraps it up in this beautiful little line here where he says, fear not, little flock. So if you are struggling with something, if you're feeling helpless in the face of a very difficult or painful situation in your life, I want you to hear those words, read those words, reflect on those words, repeat those words throughout your day, perhaps as a prayer, remembering, imagining Jesus speaking those words to you personally. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So hard to trust in that. And yet when we hear it in Jesus' own words there, there's something so beautifully simple and reassuring about it. But I mean, that's just one little passage, you know, that I happen to highlight here. You might have your own favorite passage, or maybe there's a psalm that you especially like to read, or that, you know, gives you consolation during times when you're wondering, you know, what comes next. Make scripture a part of your everyday. And if you already do have it as a part of your everyday, make it more a part of your everyday. Read it more. If you're going through a hard time, if you're feeling helpless, consider the lilies. Maybe memorize a little part of it. Maybe a little passage here from Luke, or maybe a line from a psalm that reminds you of the goodness of God and reminds you that God wants to give you every good thing. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So spend some more time reading scripture. Anytime that you're feeling helpless in the face of something, you can't go wrong with making more room for scripture in your life. All right. Next, I want to, of course, I'm going to talk about the surrender novena. I hear from people all the time because I did an entire show. In fact, I'm going to make a little note to myself here to link to that in the show notes for this episode in case anybody isn't familiar with that episode that I did about all about the Surrender Novena, which is a favorite prayer of mine, which is just a novena. It's 9 days, right? And if you're not familiar with it, you can listen to that podcast that I'm going to link up in the show notes, or you can go to daniellebean.com/surrender, and the Surrender Novena is published there, so you can get access to it. And it's just such a simple prayer, which is what I love about it. And it comes from Revelation to Don Delindo Ruotolo, who is a servant of God on the path to sainthood. And he was a spiritual director for Padre Pio. So, you know, he's the real deal. And he wrote down these revelations that he had from Jesus. So the words of this novena are, you know, Jesus's words as revealed to Don Delindo Ruotolo. So, you know, of course, you don't have to believe that as a Catholic, right? You can choose to believe that. This is private revelation. And I choose to believe because I hear such beautiful truth and goodness in these words of Jesus. And it's so very simple, right? The words of the prayer, first of all, there's each day. So it's 9 days where you pray this prayer every day for 9 days. And I make a habit of praying one of the days of it every day because I love it that much. And yeah, you can choose 9 days to pray it. You could pray it over 9 hours. You could pray it all at once. You know, there's no rules about this. But I love that the words are just very simple and Jesus talking to us and inviting us into a greater trust. And then at the end of each day's reflection, you just repeat 10 times the very simple prayer, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. That's simple. And even the simple words of that prayer, you know, if you're praying, if you're in the 9 days of praying the novena, it's a beautiful thing to kind of bring into your day and just repeat throughout your day. Jesus, I trust in you, right? Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And, you know, in moments where you're facing something that's scary or you feel helpless in the face of something, I shared a few weeks back that I recently suffered an injury to my knee. I tore my ACL while skiing, and I described going down the mountain with ski patrol. Let me tell you, that is a helpless situation when you're strapped to a sled and going down the hill at what feels like 100 miles per hour. And in that moment, I had the inspiration to pray exactly these words. You know, I didn't have the inspiration to pray anything fancy, but Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And I find that that's all we ever need to pray. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficult challenge you are facing right now, whatever God is asking you to endure, he's there with you in it. And he's asking you to trust him in it. And so I would encourage you to make a habit of, even if you don't pray the Surrender Novena, but why wouldn't you pray the Surrender Novena? Get on over there and pray the Surrender Novena. It's so beautiful and so life-changing. But, you know, just a simple prayer of trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Or Jesus, I trust in you. Help me to trust you more. That's a beautiful and simple and honest prayer, because oftentimes when we feel helpless, it's because we're lacking that trust. We've got that human frailty in our faith and we are lacking that trust in God. So just look for a simple way that you can pray like that. I really recommend the Surrender Novena or some other simple prayer, some other novena, maybe praying to a saint that's really you have a special devotion to, but focusing on that growing in trust in the Lord, because that's what we need to do. Every one of us needs to grow in trust in the Lord. I shared before that I really love the kind of prompt to prayer that Father Mike Schmitz shared in a podcast recently, where he was saying, if you're suffering in any way, just offer it up and say, you know, Lord, use this to change my heart. And every one of our hearts needs changing. We need changing toward greater love. We need changing toward greater compassion and mercy for our fellow human beings. But we need changing in trust. We need to trust God more. That's one of the ways that our hearts need to change. So pray for that. Pray for that growing in trust. Ask God to change your heart. So praying the Surrender Novena, but also just praying to grow in trust. All right. Number three, when you're feeling helpless, this is just simple advice. I've heard different versions of it, but I just kind of like the simple version of do the next right thing. So sometimes when we're feeling helpless, it's because we're overwhelmed, because there are things that we cannot do, things we cannot control, things that are happening to us and around us and to people we love, and we can't control it. But there always is something that we're being called to do in that moment. So look for that thing. Look for that thing. You know, keep calm and carry on. I like that kind of British phrase, right? And there really is sort of a Catholic version of it, though. Like, do the next right thing. Do what God is calling you to do right now, whatever that thing is. However small and stupid and insignificant it might seem, that's what he's calling you to do. Venerable Fulton Sheen has what he calls the duty of the present moment. And I love, he's written a lot about it, so I would encourage you to look up some of his writings about it. But this one quote I want to share with you from him is just a beautiful thought about doing the next right thing, although he doesn't say it like that. He says, "To accept the duty of this moment for God is to touch eternity, to escape from time. This habit of embracing the now and glorifying God through its demands is an act of the loving will. We do not need an intellectual knowledge of God's plan in order to accept it. When St. Paul was converted, he asked merely, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?' We can be warmed by a fire without knowing the chemistry of combustion, and we can be cured by medicine without knowing its prescription." Isn't that just so beautiful? Because it's describing this peace that we can have in fulfilling our duty of the present moment. So if you're facing something really difficult going on in your parish, in your community, in your family, in your marriage, or with yourself, or with your health, or whatever is going on, like Venerable Fulton Sheen says, you know, we don't know all the details of how it's all going to work out. And that's just life, right? We don't know. And we can't know all the details of God's will in that moment, but we can know, what is God calling on me to do right now? And maybe there's not a single thing you can do to address that thing right now. But maybe you are going to, you know, make preparations for dinner for your family tonight, or maybe you're going to drive carpool, or maybe you're going to text a friend that you've been putting off getting in touch with, or, you know, what is the thing that you're supposed to be doing right now, right? Maybe it's sending emails at your work, or maybe it's cleaning a bathroom, or having a conversation with your husband, or what is it? Sometimes it's just laundry, right? What is your duty of the present moment? Consider that. And there's a lot of peace to be found in recognizing what you can control, what you can't control, and giving over to God what we cannot control. And, you know, newsflash, it's his anyway, right? He's in charge anyway, whether we give it over to him or not, right? So let's at least reap the spiritual benefits of learning to grow in trusting him, turning things over to him, and focusing only on what he's calling us to do, which sometimes is very humbling, very simple. And yep, we feel helpless because it's not going to fix the problem, but it's not part of God's will that we be fixing that problem in that particular way right now. So do the next right thing and just focus on doing that. You know, sometimes I think there's just, this is a very human response to want to do something. And sometimes there are tangible things that we can do that, even if it's small, to kind of mend relationships or provide comfort for somebody who's suffering, that we can't fix what's wrong, but we can be present for them. There are little things that we can do. So look for what those things are. What is the next right thing that God is calling you to do? When you find yourself kind of overwhelmed and tempted to worry or feel anxious about whatever situation it is you're facing that you feel helpless in the face of, then just do the next right thing and pray for the grace to know what it is, and then to just fulfill that duty of the present moment faithfully. All right, the fourth thing I would like to suggest, the fourth idea for when you feel helpless, is related to doing the next right thing, but it's taking action based on trust. So sometimes we feel helpless because we don't know what the right thing is to do. We can do things, and like Bernadette said in her email, it's good versus good, right? We're not sure which of these good things God wants us to do, perhaps. But taking action based on trust, a really vivid way of describing this that I read, I have to share this passage with you from Father Jacques Philippe. This is from his book, Searching for and Maintaining Peace. Again, every time I mention Father Jacques Philippe, I have to tell you, go and read his stuff. I mean, it's so good. And this is actually a fairly longish passage, but I think it's really important. So I'm going to read the whole thing. Hopefully I'm not going to break any copyright laws or anything here. Sorry, Father Philippe. I just think it's so awesome. I want to share it with everybody. So this is from Father Jacques Philippe's Searching for and Maintaining Peace, kind of talking about this idea of taking action based on trust, which sometimes we're paralyzed and we feel terrified to do this. All right. He says, our difficulty in believing in providence. The first obstacle is that as long as we have not experienced concretely the fidelity of divine providence to provide for our essential needs, we have difficulty believing in it and we abandon it. We have hard heads. The words of Jesus do not suffice for us. We want to see at least a little in order to believe. Well, we do not see it operating around us in a clear manner. How then are we to experience it? It is important to know one thing. We cannot experience this support from God unless we leave him the necessary space in which he can express himself. I would like to make a comparison. As long as a person who must jump out with a parachute does not jump out into the void, he cannot feel that the cords of the parachute will support him because the parachute has not yet had the chance to open. One must first jump, and it is only later that one feels carried. And so it is in the spiritual life. God gives in the measure that we expect of him, says St. John of the Cross. And St. Francis de Sales says, the measure of divine providence acting on us is the degree of confidence that we have in it. This is where the problem lies. Many do not believe in providence because they've never experienced it. But they've never experienced it because they've never jumped into the void and taken the leap of faith. They never give it the possibility to intervene. They calculate everything, anticipate everything. They seek to resolve everything by counting on themselves instead of counting on God. The founders of religious orders proceed with the audacity of this spirit of faith. They buy houses without having a penny. They receive the poor, although they have nothing with which to feed them. Then God performs miracles for them. The checks arrive and the granaries are filled. But too often, generations later, everything is planned, calculated. One doesn't incur an expense without being sure in advance to have enough to cover it. How can providence manifest itself? And the same is true in the spiritual life. If a priest drafts all his sermons and his talks down to the last comma in order to be sure that he does not find himself wanting before his audience and never has the audacity to begin preaching with a prayer and confidence in God as his only preparation, how can he have this beautiful experience with the Holy Spirit who speaks through his mouth? Does the gospel not say, do not worry about how to speak or what you should say, for what you are to say will be given to you when the time comes? Because it will not be you who will be speaking, but the Spirit of your Father will be speaking in you. Let us be very clear. Obviously, we do not want to say that it is a bad thing to be able to anticipate things, to develop a budget, or prepare one's homilies. Our natural abilities are also instruments in the hands of providence. But everything depends on the spirit in which we do things. We must clearly understand that there is an enormous difference in attitude of heart between one who, in fear of finding himself wanting because he does not believe in the intervention of God on behalf of those who lean on him, programs everything in advance to the smallest detail and does not undertake anything except in the exact measure of its actual possibilities, and one who certainly undertakes legitimate things, but who abandons himself with confidence in God to provide all that is asked of him and who thus surpasses his own possibilities. And that which God demands of us always goes beyond our natural human possibilities. Okay, all of that. Father Jacques Philippe, okay. So good. So precisely what we need to hear sometimes when we feel helpless, when we feel unsure. And we have to be honest about where that feeling of uncertainty is coming from, where that feeling of helplessness in the face of possibly two good decisions is coming from. And it's that fear, that lack of trust in God, that lack of trust that God is going to bring about all things for our good. And that hesitation to take that leap of faith, whatever it might be. So sometimes God is asking us to take action, not just do the next little right thing, but really take action in some of these circumstances that are important and very challenging in our lives sometimes. He's calling on us to trust in him, to step out in faith, to know that we don't know everything yet. We can't know everything yet. Sometimes we're hesitating to take that first step because we don't know how it's all going to work out. And yet God is calling us to trust in him, take that first step, and to have faith that he's going to provide for us in those circumstances. So difficult to do, but how are you going to know you have a parachute? How are you going to know the strength of the cords of that parachute if you never jump out of the plane? Right? Such a beautiful and concrete example that Father Jacques Philippe shares that I think applies to so many of us in different ways in our lives. So if that's you, if you are hesitating to make a decision, if you are hesitating to step out in faith with maybe something you know in your heart of hearts that God is calling you to do, then consider that. Consider that God is actually calling you to grow, to stretch. Maybe this is the answer to your prayer to grow in trust, this invitation to step out in faith, step into the void, take that leap of faith. So take action based on trust. All right. One more thought that I want to share with you if you are feeling helpless that I hope can be helpful to you in times when you might be feeling helpless is, okay, you're not going to like this at first. Rejoice. Be glad. Give thanks to God that you are feeling helpless. So what I mean by that is what a gift to know how weak we are. What a gift to know we are helpless. If you're feeling helpless, thanks be to God. That's a beautiful gift to know just how helpless you are. Because all those other times when you feel like everything's great and you don't feel helpless, you're still helpless. You know, you can't do anything without God, right? And I love to reflect on that passage from 2 Corinthians where Paul writes about this thing that's vexing him. We're not sure what this thorn in his side is that he's referring to. There are different theories about it. But anyway, he says, 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Power is made perfect in weakness. The power of God is manifested most perfectly in times when we are helpless, when we are weak, when we don't know what to do, when we feel completely overwhelmed by life and we can't do anything but just throw ourselves at the feet of God, trusting in his goodness. That's where God's power is made perfect. So we need to boast of that. Rejoice in the fact that you feel helpless and see it as the gift and the invitation that it is. It's a gift in that not everybody knows just how helpless they are. Not everybody knows that. And it's a truth that, you know, really benefits us enormously when we recognize it. Even when all is going well in your life, it is good for us to remember that all these good things come from God and that every moment by moment, every breath we take, everything we do, we are completely, completely dependent upon the goodness of God. And every moment of our lives is a gift. But we don't always recognize that. And we might recognize it more fully, more sufficiently, more completely, and with greater honesty in times when we struggle. So it's a gift, even if it doesn't feel like it, even if you would never choose to have this thing happen to you, even if you would never choose to be in these circumstances that you find so challenging, so difficult, you're feeling helpless in the face of, rejoice in the gift that they are. Because it is a gift to know just how weak you are. And maybe reflect on that passage from St. Paul, asking God to help you to see the ways that he can be glorified in your neediness. That's a beautiful prayer that I learned once, which is Lord, glorify yourself in my need. God can be glorified by meeting our needs. He's not so glorified when we're out there doing our own thing and feeling like we're accomplishing everything on our own and, you know, pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. He's not so glorified by that. He's very glorified by those moments where we have no choice but to depend upon him and we turn to him in trust. And then he's able to act in our lives and provide good things for us that we are not able to provide for ourselves. So that's my 5th idea for when you are feeling helpless, and we all feel helpless sometimes. So just a quick review here for Bernadette. Thank you for the question that kind of inspired this topic today. But for anybody, like I hope these are applicable to anybody who's facing a difficult situation in life and feeling challenged and feeling helpless in the face of it. So first of all, read scripture. Second of all, pray the surrender novena. Third, do the next right thing. Accept that duty of the moment. 4, take action based on trust. And then 5, rejoice, because you know a great truth and it is a great gift to know just how weak we are. All right, we've got more of the show coming up for you in just a moment, but first we're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you're listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I am the host of the Catechism in a Year podcast. If you've been following along with us, you know that God's plan for us is a plan of sheer goodness, that he wants to bring us into a relationship with him. You know that already. One of the ways that God actually brings us into this relationship and keeps us, sustains us in this relationship is through the sacraments. Again, you might know that already. You might further know that so many of us miss out on the beauty and the power of the sacraments. But Ascension has an answer to this. Ascension has created two new programs. One is called Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation. The second is Received, Your Journey Towards First Holy Communion. We know that our youth, they're our future. And yet at the same time, it's so hard oftentimes to reach them with this incredible news of God's love for them in reconciliation, God's love for them in the Eucharist. If you want to check out Ascension's new program, Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation, and Received, Your Journey Towards First Communion, go to ascensionpress.com and sign up for a free preview.
All right, welcome back. Now we're at the point in the show where I like to share a listener question. Now, the whole first part of the show was a great big long answer to a listener question, but this isn't even a question. I just thought I would share a little feedback on a Lenten topic that I received from Christine this week. And Christine wrote, "Hi, Danielle. I'm a Catholic wife and mother of seven. I've been married to my husband for 34 years. I really enjoyed your podcast on last minute ideas for Lent. I decided to take your advice and write something that is special about my husband every day during Lent. My husband, Jeff, frequently leaves me little love notes. I have saved many of those over the years. Sometimes I will find them on the bathroom mirror, in a drawer, kitchen cabinet, or under my pillow. He has always shown his love in this way. I, on the other hand, have not done that for him. So when you mentioned writing a note about him each day, I thought that would be perfect. I have added one thing to your idea. I decided to put a quote from the Bible that goes along with what I write about him. For example, I wrote about how hard he works to provide for our family, and I added Matthew 5:41, and if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. When I wrote about how patient he is, I added from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Thank you so much for this wonderful idea. I know that Jeff is going to enjoy this surprise gift when I give it to him on Easter. I really enjoy listening to your podcast and appreciate all the work that you are doing to draw us closer to the Lord. Sincerely, Christine." I love that you're doing that. What a beautiful way of going about doing that, Christine. And I thought I would share this email because maybe somebody is going to have a last minute idea for Lent, even at this stage in Lent. And it could be something as simple as that. And, you know, Christine, the fact that you share that your husband sends you these little notes like all the time and that you don't typically do that for him tells me he's going to really enjoy getting this gift from you, because probably words of affirmation are his love language. Like, that's probably why that's how he expresses his love for you. And so it's going to be so, so meaningful for him to receive this gift from you. But I want to encourage anybody listening, like, even if you aren't going to take on a big task of writing something every day, maybe you're going to do something smaller to create a really personal gift for somebody in your life like that. And especially to build up your marriage, it's a beautiful opportunity to do exactly that. So thank you for sharing that, Christine. If you have a question you want me to take up, like Bernadette at the start of today's show, or if you have feedback that you want to share about a recent episode or an idea, something you're implementing in your own life based on what we talk about here on Girlfriends, I would love to hear from you. You can always email me, danielle@daniellebean.com. You can send me a voice memo there so I can add your voice to a future episode of Girlfriends. You can connect with me on Voxer. The link to connect with me on Voxer and leave me a voicemail that way is always in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com. One last reminder, if you are not subscribed to the show notes for Girlfriends, do this right now. Text the word Girlfriends to 33777. Simple way we can stay connected, easy to get subscribed to the show notes. That way, the show notes are always sent to your inbox and we can always be in touch through the things that we share here. You know, sometimes I have guests on, we have links that we're sharing, we have ideas, we have books that we're recommending. You want to have all that good stuff right in your inbox, including the song of the week, which this week is going to come from Bernadette, an Australian song. So look for that in your inbox once you subscribe to the show notes. Just text the word Girlfriends to 33777. But that's all the time we have for today. But I want to thank you for being here and being part of today's episode. I'm so grateful for your presence here. Truly, I am so grateful that you allow me into your life. It truly is a privilege. It's an honor to be able to spend this time with you, and I'm so grateful for it. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.